It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you?
What's going on, Dave? How are you on this? A lot of games going on, man. Did you see that game?
Yeah, exactly. The only game that you and I are going to see, are you and I doing some retro classic video games. That's the only game we're going to be watching here for the foreseeable future. I'm trying to say I'm so tired. What's up, Bubba Rosenbaum?
Doing well, guys. Still in shock. This whole situation that we're going through now as a society just seems very surreal.
No doubt about it, Bubba. And before we get into our roundtable, I know we have by the way, folks, a very special episode. It's our Corona special. Coronavirus special we're going to do with tonight, Dr. John Breen.
Yeah, you got Dr. Breen. We recorded it last night. So note on this, this is such a fluid situation as we're releasing this podcast. I guess we'll get this out Friday morning. We're recording this open right now on Thursday night. We recorded the interview with John on Wednesday night. So some of the information that John's going to put out there, not in terms of the virus itself, but some of the other information is going to be outdated at this point. So keep that in mind when you're listening to the interview, but still a lot of good information, during the interview, particularly about the virus itself and how it works, how it affects you, and so on.
No doubt about it. Very shocking day, I think, to say the least, guys. I'm, as you guys know, I'm almost 47, April 14th. And hopefully, I'll be able to have my birthday party still. Are you going to cancel my birthday party at Granger Stadium?
College baseball, as of right now, man, ain't going on. So, I mean, unless something changes between now and April 14th, that game ain't happening. So we'll see. I was wondering about that today, if they'll go ahead and refund tickets or wait and see on that or how that's going to go.
I'm going to make a prediction right now. I could be almost wrong. It's a prediction, but I have a feeling that obviously we're at March 12th when we're recording this. I think this is my gut feeling. I don't know anything. So people, I always tell you when it's just an opinion and our gut feeling and not.
So you mean you don't control the coronavirus?
No, I don't. If I did, I'd make a lot of money.
Glad you clarify that for everybody.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just have a prediction that things are going to be crazy. It's the new March Madness. I think in April, sometime in April, hopefully it's before my birthday, but I just have a feeling over the next few weeks, cooler heads will prevail. Everything will be fine. There's going to be some things that happen, we know, with the virus. We'll be talking to Dr. Breen here in a little bit. I get that. But I have a feeling that things will start to ease back into whatever you want to call normal, where we start to have sporting events again. And God forbid we lose our concerts, because Kyle, Bubba, and I love concerts. Who doesn't?
Cody Jinks has been moved to June 12th.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of people that are going to move stuff back a little bit. Postponing one thing is a smart idea, I think, in this situation. Canceling old season tournaments, all kinds of stuff, I think is a little bit much. And I'll stick to that. But I really believe that in the next few weeks we'll see that. I think.
I do have to question the decision to not have March Madness right now. I'm not questioning that decision. But I do question the decision of why not say we're going to suspend it right now, intensively play it April, start the tournament April to whatever.
Right.
And then just have the selection go based off of regular season and just scrap the conference tournaments. And I don't know why you wouldn't do that. And then when April whatever gets here, if it can't be done, then cancel it. So I do question why they didn't do that. Maybe let's say April 15th. You move it to April 15th and if you can play it then, play it then. And if you can't, then cancel it. So I do question why they didn't do that.
Well, here's my question for you guys, being that I love money. $1 billion a year for this tournament for 10 years, which is $10 billion is what CBS and Turner, I guess the combination of the two paid for the tournament. I can't remember which year this is. It's a handful, few years into the contract. This is what I'm concerned about right now because I love college sports and I love sports, period. Where does the legalities of this come in? And maybe there's something in the contract, but if you're paying for an event, CBS puts a lot of money at Turner between the two companies.
I would assume it would just extend it 1 year. It would extend the contract by 1 year.
And you also have to look at how much money CBS and Turner are not going to make on this tournament this year. There's a reason why they're giving a lot of money for the rights to the tournament because they can make a lot of money off the tournament.
Well, I'm not really worried much about CBS or Turner. I think they'll be okay. But the fact of the matter of how the contract, I would think it will be just rolled a year, just roll over another year. I would think that would be what you would pretty much have to do. But I guess we'll see. I'm not of all the businesses that are gonna suffer right now because of coronavirus, and there will be some that will take a hit. And you know, right now, I'm sure a lot of places in the city of Greensboro are you know, losing money that they were expecting to have. CBS and TNT, I'm not worried about. They'll be all right.
No, I'm just curious about you and I love contracts. I was just curious about that. I'm not going to lose sleep if CBS is going to make it or not or Turner. But speaking of which, Greensboro, and we'll talk to that with Dr. Breen, but Greensboro, and he lives there, Greensboro is a great city. Obviously, where the ACC tournament is being held for the next, I believe it's the next few years, but the host, that's the home of the ACC where the conference offices are. And with that tournament, I mean, I think Greensboro, Bubba's neck of the woods, the Charlotte area, do a nice job. And it's not like they're the only ones that can ever host the tournament, but I think between Greensboro and Charlotte, they do a really good job. And so, I know there's people out there arguing, okay, this is something unforeseen, but at the same time, there's a lot of businesses, there's a lot of bars, restaurants, hotels, and that's what, for us, on a local perspective, when we're talking about Pirate Nation, what I'm worried about is okay, let's say that it's, and we're into April or May, when do you make the decision for football season? I mean, you look at a P.J. Conley recently, I was on the show, the mayor of Greenville, at one time in the 90s, it was $1 million. It's probably closer to $2 million. I'm not sure.
For
the local economy.
I mean, well, we'll know, dude. If in the next month, you know, it becomes, you know, what people are fearing it will, and keep in mind, the reason these events are being canceled, and then what a lot of people say is it was overreaction. Well, was it? Did canceling these events and canceling schools keep the virus from spreading? So, but let's just say it does spread. Unfortunately, hopefully it doesn't. And we're still having effects from it in June. Then you start looking towards the fall. Eventually you have to start modifying things. You can't just keep canceling everything forever. So, I don't know.
I have a proposal for you.
My gut, well, hold on.
Okay.
My gut is just like with the flu, people still contract it during the summer, but the rates will go down drastically. My guess is by the time May gets here and we get, you know, warm days throughout the country, my guess is if the numbers start to peak like people fear they're going to, my guess is May they'll start going back down and we can go back to normal.
Here's my proposal to them. Why don't we have some kind of way, if we have the TSA and we have all that where people are being patted down, why don't we have a certain way at the VA right now in Greenville and Durham? If you go into the VA, the clinic in Greenville and the VA hospital, they actually have where they test you for your fever, like to see how, like if you have a fever or not. And I don't know what else they're doing, but some kind of screening they're doing to get into the hospital. Is that something realistically something you could do? I don't know, but I'm just thinking that there's something you could do where that way you know this guy's okay because he doesn't have a fever. He does. He's not sick or she's
well,
not
as,
sick.
As John Brain will tell you later on here in the podcast, the problem is the incubation period for this is about 4 to 5 days. So you could have it and not know it. Is what you're proposing realistic? Probably not. I mean, you're talking about.
I know because you got 50,000 people. I'm just saying, is there some way that you could? I don't know. I'm just saying that there's got to be some way, and it's a great thing for somebody to invent a way that you could figure out if they're. I don't know. That's something that is going on in research right now.
Well, hopefully, what will work, Dave, is hopefully you know closing stuff down. And the beginning of a quarantine, and if it becomes a full-on quarantine, hopefully that will stop the spread. And we won't have to worry about it, you know, at least until next year. So hopefully that'll be the case. We'll see. I mean, in terms of screening people when they're going into events, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I'm just wondering what would it take to get ball games back in action to be reality and say these people are fine. Or the same thing, here's another thing. An industry I'm worrying about really bad right now is the cruise industry with the ships and obviously airlines right now. The airline industry is very, very is a tough industry to begin with. And all it takes is something like this. We could lose every single airline. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just saying that we got to think about what's going on. And as far as the cruise industry, when you try to get on a cruise, you have to go through a security check. Why not have a screening? I mean, that's a lot of – it would be a lot of work. It would be a lot of –
Well, I mean, are you talking about short term, like to bring ball games back next week? That's not going to happen.
No, I'm not talking about – I know there's it would take some time. I'm just saying, is there a way that we can
the virus dies down and the growth stops and it starts going the other direction, then you'll see stuff come back. I mean, if the virus spreads to the point, look, if come July, the virus has spread to the point where we're still not playing games, the last thing you're going to be worried about is football because you're going to have people sick as left and right and the elderly and people with weak immune system dying. I mean, if we're still dealing with this growing in July, that's a whole other can of worms. Football will be
right.
The last concern. So,
right, then you'll see that. But I really believe that I'll stay positive like you. I think in the next handful of weeks we'll see where things are better. And things will start to ease. It wouldn't be like a quick fix, but I think it'll start to ease back into things. And I'm hopeful. What I'm upset for is the coaches. I'm upset for the players. I think they should get an extra year of eligibility. If the NCAA cancels a season, they should give. And of course, it's NCAA. So common sense is out that window with the NCAA. They're never
not only for baseball, softball, but basketball also. Those guys didn't get to play for a championship. I 100% agree. I can't imagine anybody not being okay with giving everybody another year of eligibility. I think that's definitely the right thing to do. If you don't want to take that extra year of eligibility, if you want to move on to pro ball or go on with your career, great. But they should at least have the opportunity to come back and play their senior season. It's only fair.
Like with Burley, for example, and Gavin Williams, two guys that come to mind. There's others, obviously, but ECU. Those two guys, I mean, to me, I know that East Carolina lost last night on a walk-off, but they're playing very well, and I believe that this season is a magical season. And I like what you had to say before we started, Kyle, about I believe that there's no way in the world that we can get all the games in that we won't. But let's say it's April. Shorten the season and
even if it's May. I know that Bubba, they technically already canceled the College World Series, but I mean, if things ease up, you know, even by May, you can still finish out the season. Even if you just do the conference tournaments and then play the regional, super regionals, and College World Series. I mean, Bubba, you want to jump in here? Having a shortened season in April or May and playing the World Series, even though technically they've already canceled it.
I would certainly hope so.
I mean, everything. I honestly don't know what to think at this point. And you have, like Dave said, I mean, or like we were discussing, I think maybe they'll go back on the way they worded things, but they did say cancellation, not postponed or suspended or anything like that. I mean, so hopefully that will be the case, but at this point, I certainly wouldn't bet my life on it for sure.
Yeah, I don't know why you cancel something that's in June now. I totally understand why they're doing March Madness. I would totally understand if it's still growing and we're still pandemic levels in May, I would understand them canceling it. But we're sitting in March. Why cancel something in June when there's so much of the season left? You know, I don't, that doesn't make any sense to me. I was talking to my buddy James about it, and he said he thinks the reason is because, almost just to be fair, since they've canceled it for basketball, women's and men's, and so many other spring sports, that he almost thinks that they're canceling the College World Series just so, you know, it's fair all around that, you know, people aren't going, well, those guys get to play their championship.
But there's a lot of the thing that's crazy about canceling all the spring sports, and I understand exactly about the tournaments right now, is the very fact of that very thing. It's the unknown. We don't know. So if things are better, there's a lot of track and field. There's softball. I mean, you could go on and on the different tennis.
And you could have suspended it. You could have suspended it, like I said, until April 15th.
Right.
You know, with the tournament, you know, with regular season baseball, softball, track, and then reevaluate it.
Right.
If we're getting close to April 15th and everything's still bad, then you did cancel it.
Then it makes sense.
Yeah. But and I guess maybe there is a fear also, Dave, is that things will start to die down, and then if everybody starts traveling again immediately, it'll pick right back up. I don't know. It's a tough thing to say. I know that people's health comes first, and it's a shame that you know, everything had to be canceled. I do wish there would have been the way Major League Baseball is doing it. What they've done right now is announced that they delayed opening day by 2 weeks, and we'll keep a monitor and push it back further and further as needed. And I think that's probably a good way to do things.
The people that think 162 games are too much, they're good their wish, right?
What I started to say is, according to what I've seen, you talk about MLB, the NBA, what is still
NHL.
Just a suspension of their season.
Right.
And same thing with MLS, NHL. I just saw that the PGA.
PGA. Yeah.
They some breaking news, and NASCAR does still have events going on in the last two races, but like you said, with no fans. And then we've obviously talked about the situation on the college level for baseball and basketball, and that's what Pat Forty, who's a longtime sports writer, a national columnist with Yahoo Sports, he had a very good article. I'd actually seen it retweeted by, I believe it was Bruce Feldman, but Pat Forty, has a son who's a senior swimmer at the University of Georgia, and he was getting ready to swim in the national meet. I believe it was in Indianapolis, and so he just talked about that and said, yes, he felt horrible for obviously the one that was in the spotlight in basketball, but to remember all those spring athletes that had their senior seasons, at least at this point, stripped away.
That's
the conclusion to the senior season.
Yeah, and that's one thing I was going to say is that, as crazy as it may sound, is there any way that, logistically this will be hard, but is there any way that for those people that are men and women that are in spring sports, is there any way we can push it back a couple months, 2 or 3 months, to let them actually have the championships? Maybe they can do that. Maybe they will come to their senses and do that, because it's terrible to see that They were saying the other day, we're going to definitely have the Olympics. Who knows? I haven't heard anything more. And the Olympics are late July, like we've been talking about, the length of time of stuff. So we have plenty of time there to I would say, probably sometime in May, about 2 months before, I think they have to make a decision. So they still, from my memory,
Where are the Olympics at this year?
Tokyo.
Okay.
So that's the reason that that was the first sporting event that was potentially going to be canceled is the Olympics. And they said, no, we're not going to make that decision yet. We have plenty of time. So we'll see how that goes. I think the biggest thing is just for me, the sports, hopefully we can see definitely that they're going to continue. Hey, this is like a redneck paradise. So you have wrestling and NASCAR still alive.
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned that. From what I understand, I need to confirm this, but at least what I was told, again, I need to confirm, WWE is going to run SmackDown and Raw from the Performance Center down in Orlando where the guys train for NXT, the WWE training facility. So I guess it'll be ran at the Performance Center with no fans, kind of like an old studio wrestling show.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Except they're used, you know, with studio wrestling, you did have a few fans. But it'll be interesting. If they do that, you know, it does give you something to watch. It'll be a different look. WWE's been hot garbage here lately. So AEW, I haven't heard what they're going to do. I need to research that. Talk amongst yourself, guys. I'm going to do
research. Bubba, while we have a chance, while Kyle's doing that, we're going to go to John Breen here in just a few minutes to get more of the lowdown on the coronavirus. Bubba, I know there's been a couple coaches that had some interesting thoughts and perspectives on these decisions. Do you want to share some of those?
Yeah, I'll share some of those, and then I guess either right now or after those coaches that we talked about on a kind of a regional and national scale, we'll talk about what's taking place with John Gilbert on Friday morning, or what time is that exactly?
At noon.
At noon, he will be meeting with members of the local media about everything that's going on, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But some of the things I noticed on a national level, John Beilein, obviously most recently the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now he is doing some work with the Big Ten Network as an analyst and does an excellent job. Of course, he did a tremendous job on the college level, most recently Michigan and then also West Virginia, Richmond, Canisius, and others. But he had some excellent insight, or not necessarily so much insight, just perspective. And Coach Beilein was just talking about how coaches all the time, a lot of coaches anyway, are just preaching to their players about being well-rounded and striving for excellence in everything and having multiple options by getting that degree and having a plan when the ball stops bouncing, when you don't go on to the pros or when you get injured or what have you. And so he said that definitely this kind of puts or brings that situation to the forefront. So I thought that was interesting. You also had Chad Holbrook, a former head baseball coach at South Carolina, now the head baseball coach at the College of Charleston. He is someone who had a child or has a child who had cancer. So he said kind of some parallels in this situation as to that, as far as just having gone through something so tragic already, he knew, relatively speaking, how to keep things in perspective and how things on the baseball field or basketball court, what have you, are inconsequential in the grand scheme of things. And then also you had Scott Drew, who's obviously the head coach of the Baylor Bears, who were having one of the best seasons in school history. Coach Drew, he released a statement just saying student-athlete safety is always our highest priority, so he certainly understood the decision to cancel the 2020 NCAA tournament, but he's overwhelmingly disappointed that his team won't have the opportunity to finish what was arguably the best season in program history. They were, of course, the number one team this year for 5 weeks, and we're likely going to get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. So that's part of his statements, and I can only sorry.
Yeah, I know. I had some breaking news that I actually hear that Carolina basketball fans are responsible for the coronavirus.
I knew you would. That is so weird. I knew you were going to say something.
I got some news updates here. WWE SmackDown will be live from the Performance Center Friday night with only personnel in attendance in the audience. There's limited audience, and it will be WWE personnel. AEW Dynamite next Wednesday has been moved from Rochester to a facility in Jacksonville, Florida, which is where they're owned by the Jacksonville Jaguars owner.
Right.
And it will be a limited audience, basically invited guests. So that's what WWE and AEW are doing. They're going to run things with limited audiences, basically family and friends,
old
personnel,
school,
et cetera. Basically studio-type wrestling, yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. I would think with the lack of sports, guys, that wrestling's ratings will be through the roof.
Yeah.
This is really a chance for WWE and AEW being a new product, but having major television distribution on TNT to really gain some traction. And then you got stuff like Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor, which pre-taped. Impact taped last weekend in Atlanta all their shows for the next month. So they're gonna have shows on Access TV with the audience because they were taped this past Saturday. So that you know, it'd be interesting. See if you see another little wrestling boom now because of this.
Well, it definitely goes back to what we talked about, and that is that if they put even a decent product out there, they'll get some good ratings. But if they still just throw out a bunch of crap, then
overproduced, choreographed, over.
That's the problem I have. Yes, exactly. So. Nobody, you don't have people that you care about. They couldn't do a promo if their life depended on it.
Well, you don't know if they could do a promo because everything's scripted. Everything's scripted
true,
for
yeah.
them.
That's
know,
probably
I mean,
why that is so bad. Yeah.
Some of them probably could if they were given the opportunity to. So.
Yeah, that's a good, very good point.
Did we go to Dr. Bream yet? Or,
no, that's what I was getting ready to go. You guys,
well, did you want? Did you want to mention that? We'll talk about John Gilbert once we come out of that interview.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do that. And his thoughts will obviously find out tomorrow, Friday. In the meantime, let's go to Dr. John Bream. As Kyle mentioned, he and I had a chance to talk to him on Wednesday night. Keep that in mind, as some of the things in there are maybe outdated as the story continues to change. Very fluid, if you will. And let's get Dr. Bream's take here on the coronavirus.
Well, through good times and bad times, our next guest is a good friend of the show and at Helps. He's a doctor. We want to welcome in Dr. John Bream from Right to Ship and certainly want to bring his expertise in. Dr. Bream, thanks, man, for coming back on with us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.
Well,
John, tell everybody your medical background before we, for people who may not know you, what you're a doctor in and your expertise before we get into the coronavirus discussion.
Sure.
So
I am a Brody-trained Pitt County Memorial/Vidit-trained emergency medicine physician. So I'm boarded in emergency medicine to the 3-year residency at Vidit, and then you pass your written and your oral boards, and then I'm a fellow of the American College of Emergency Physicians. So only about 10% of all ER doctors have that title attached to them. So just a few extra hoops you have to jump through and administrative stuff. I'm the medical director of the emergency department at Rowan Medical Center in Salisbury.
Okay. All right, so we wanted to have you on, and thanks again. As we're recording this on Wednesday night, it's closer to 10 o'clock. The reason we're telling you that is because this subject is literally, as John and Kyle and I were talking about, pre-show, we always do a pre-show, pre-interview this particular case, like a discussion. And, John, I know that it's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things, but can you break it down where we stand right now, Wednesday night, as we're actually probably going to release this on Thursday, things can change, but we're going to try to do the best we can considering all the changes that are going on.
Yeah, so, and I think this is the most challenging part of this, is this is such, a fluid situation. I obviously work for Novant in Salisbury, and I'm sure all possible organizations are dealing with this. But, I mean, it's daily updates from the medical team, from, the senior vice president of infectious disease at Novant. His name is David Priest. The updates are coming out daily. Things are changing on a daily basis. Now we've gone from airborne precautions, now the droplet precautions today, meaning that you're using more of a standard face mask and not one of the kind of hoods, for lack of a better explanation in layman's terms, a PAPR mask. So we're obviously seeing all kinds of different, now today ECU's canceling classes. You can just see that things are just really taking off. Now we're banning travel to Europe. It's just a very fluid situation, and the amount of knowledge that's coming out is just incredible. And I can tell you, as an emergency physician, it is quite overwhelming to really try to keep up with it all. It's very, very difficult because there's just so much coming out, and it's really not coming out in a very organized fashion, unfortunately.
John, in your expert opinion at this point in time, the cancellation of college, basically, all colleges in the UNC system have canceled classes, East Carolina, UNC, et cetera. Most private schools have canceled classes. Travel ban to Europe. The NBA has just suspended the season. No fans allowed at the ACC tournament in Greensboro. No fans allowed at March Madness. Do you think these precautions, do you think it's overreaction, or do you think it's warranted?
I would say my gut here is that it's probably a little bit of an overreaction, but I can see, why they're doing it, because, the death rate from this, when you start getting into the elderly, especially those over 80, it approaches, 13 to 15%. For the young and healthy, the death rates are, slightly higher than flu, but not much. The death rate for flu is somewhere around 0.1%. For younger adults and children, the death rates are low as well, about 0.3%. So, more deadly, but not significantly more so. But you can really see that the mortality curve starts to go up significantly when you get to about 50 to 60 years old. The reason coronavirus is tricky comparatively to the flu is the incubation period for coronavirus is a lot longer, meaning that when you contract the flu, you're usually, pretty sick within 48 hours. So I can give you my example. I know that I saw a lady on Sunday with the flu. She coughed right in my face. And, on Tuesday, I felt like I was dying. It was like 48 hours. And so literally the amount of people you interact with in 48 hours is fairly small in general. But when you've got this illness, you kind of have the, I kind of don't feel right. I kind of feel tired, it's generally sort of the first symptom. And then you kind of get maybe a sore throat or runny nose. Or I still don't feel terrible. I just don't feel good. And then it's not until 5 or 6 days later when you start to get short of breath and all that stuff. So you have days longer that you could be interacting with people and transmitting the virus. And so that's, where it gets more tricky. And the contagion factor for coronavirus is higher than the flu.
And there's no vaccine, which is what scares me, is that you can get a vaccine for the flu and you won't get it or it won't affect you as bad. There's no way to protect yourself beyond safety measures from the coronavirus.
Correct. That's basically all we have at this point, because it's, like I said, it's a novel coronavirus. It's just new. This is new for everybody. And, most of the data, I will give the Chinese some credit for this. They have researched the mess out of this and published it well. So we're able to get lots of data from China and kind of see what they did, what worked, what didn't work, what their rates were, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they, you know, they mounted an unprecedented effort to, you know, contain the virus. You know, Wuhan is, you know, a city of 11 million people. So, you know, it would be the second biggest city in the United States. And that's where, you know, they had their outbreak. And so, you know, just trying to contain a virus, basically trying to contain a virus that nobody knew about that all of a sudden broke out in Manhattan, basically. So, but they did publish a lot of research on it. There are some things that seem to be helpful. If you are positive for coronavirus, you know, there's some better, you know, there's experimental antiviral that may be helpful. There's some data that, you know, double dose Tamiflu could be helpful. There's good data that an antibiotic called chloroquine, which is used to treat malaria, can be helpful.
How available is chloroquine?
Chloroquine is widely available.
Okay.
Tamiflu and chloroquine are both widely available.
So is that the, right now, John, that's the thing, that if someone does test positive for flu, and I understand, like, we're new into this, I understand everybody's different, the way people's bodies react. If I come in and I have that test positive for that, what would, how would you treat it?
For coronavirus.
Because for the coronavirus, yeah.
If you were, like, the vast majority of people who get the coronavirus who are going to get mild illness and recover fine, it would just be symptomatic treatment, rest, fluids, Tylenol, Motrin. Keep yourself quarantined until you feel better for 48 hours without symptoms.
So what is the typical length of quarantine?
Generally about 2 weeks.
Okay. So what are the symptoms? I mean, is it just like flu-like symptoms, like a cold, a cough, aching, running the fever?
Much lesser degree than flu. Like I said, flu, you feel like you get hit by a Mack truck. I mean, sudden onset, severe chills, body aches, cough, you know, feeling just like you've got hit by a truck. You're very tired. I mean, like I said, I slept for about 48 hours in a row when I had the flu, like both times I had it. This is more of a very, it's a much more indolent illness. It's, you know, just more vague. I don't feel well. Sore throat, cough. Cough is a predominant symptom of coronavirus, not a fever.
Okay.
So that's kind of one of the bigger things. I mean, not that, you know, fever, I mean, is a common symptom with coronavirus. It's just fever is universal, pretty much universal in flu, but it's not universal in coronavirus.
So what makes it deadly? You mentioned the mortality rate for the elderly. I'm a guess people with weakened immune system, respiratory problems. Does it affect the lungs? What makes it?
Correct. Yeah, it has rapid progression to acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, which is just basically where your lungs just fill up with fluid and you can't breathe.
Okay, that doesn't sound fun at all.
No, and you'll see the x-rays of people with it and the CT scans, and their lungs are just full of pus and fluid, basically. And at that point, all you can do is, you know, ventilator, supportive care, and those are the people who are going to be getting, you know, the experimental treatments, the antivirals, the chloroquine, you know, those people, not the folks who just have what seems to be mild illness.
Now, what about, how susceptible would you be if you have mild asthma?
I mean, that would be about the same as the flu. I mean, any underlying respiratory illness, cardiac, you know, cardiorespiratory illness is going to make it higher risk of progression. But, you know, generally mild asthma, you will be a slightly, I would say more of a slightly increased risk, but definitely an increased risk.
Now, you mentioned before we started recording, I was about to say recruiting, that we're trending very similar to Italy. What did you think about that?
So if you look at the graph of what Italy looked like on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven, which is right around where the United States is, day seven to eight, like between day eight and 10, like Italy just took off. like exponential increase in number of cases, because that's where the incubation period is. So
yeah.
You've got these small numbers of people who were confirmed positive who, you know, now, you know, the incubation period for other people is going to be up. And so now you're going to see lots of other people start to display symptoms of the illness. And so you're going to see, I would suspect that in the next 2 to 3 days that you're going to see the number of cases skyrocket.
Wow. So what would you do right now if you're out there, you know, a listener, and you just, what would you do to prepare yourself in terms of the general public? I mean, would you, but beyond, you know, washing your hands and hand sanitizer and stuff like that, I know, you know, a lot of items you can't even get on grocery store shelves, shortages of toilet paper, et cetera. I mean, would you stock up? I mean, do you think it'll get to the point where we'll have massive shutdowns of retail and of shipments not being able to get to and from? I mean, should we go buy, you know, some extra dry goods just to be on the safe side? I mean, what would you advise people to do?
I mean, I think in general, I would say if you're young and healthy, you know, within the realm of common sense, you should live your normal life. You know, I mean, think about if you go to the grocery store, you know, how many people do you generally come in contact with within 6 feet? You know, not very many. I mean, that's what, you know, with these illnesses, you know, they're spread by, so, you know, coughing, your droplets, you know, you cough out the droplets, you sneeze them out, they go about 6 to 10 feet, and that's generally where you catch them. You have to have really, really, really close contact with somebody to catch this. Like, you're not going to catch coronavirus if, you know, somebody's in the next room from you and doesn't leave. So that's the good thing about these illnesses. So I think if you're young and healthy, I mean, I think the guidance on that's been pretty good. If you're, you know, relatively young and healthy, you should generally try to live your normal life. If you are immune compromised or elderly, you should probably try to avoid, you know, large gatherings and things along those lines. Just, you know, there could be asymptomatic people who are going to be shedding the virus and spreading it.
But isn't there a fear of, and I guess that may be what they're trying to avoid with these conference tournaments, et cetera, perfectly healthy people are going to get it, you know, being at those tournaments and then, you know, pass it along to people that aren't healthy.
Right. I mean, well, the thing is, when you're in a big arena like that, I mean, you know, you said, you know, you're 6 inches from somebody.
Right.
And so, I mean, let's play, I guess, devil's advocate. Let's say you're sitting in a middle seat, you know, in section 5 at an ECU football game. You know, there's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, probably what, 12 people,
yeah,
you know, within 6 feet of you. So if you cough, you know, the wind could blow it in any direction. You know, with a contagion rate of about 3 to 1, you could potentially generally, acutely infect 4 of those people.
Wow.
So and when you get these mass gatherings, that's where this happens. You know, for example, the Biogen conference in Boston.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, the majority of North Carolina's cases came from was, Biogen's a medical company up in Boston. They had a conference and
yeah,
a lot of their people got sick because they were just all, you know, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. Networking, shaking hands. I mean, you're shaking hands. I mean, you know, that's one of the big things you know to do for patient satisfaction. Hi, Dr. Breen, nice to meet you. Shake your hand. You know, no handshaking currently.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you have to, you know, and people understand that. You know, you're just protecting yourself, you know, you're protecting your family. And so I think people understand those kinds of things.
Obviously not your decision, but, you know, the state universities have shut down. The private universities have shut down. I told my wife, I just want to get your opinion or your guess. My wife's a teacher. I told her, I bet you by the end of next week, public schools will be shut down statewide for a couple weeks. Would you think the same?
I would have a high suspicion that's where we're heading.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, looking at the graph, we are probably heading along the Italy curve.
and they shut down basically the entire country for 2 weeks, correct?
Pretty much.
Just grocery stores and pharmacies, I believe.
Yep.
I'm just going, and John, I want to talk about another side of this too, is when you're looking at the situation which I just went through, we won't discuss that because of the podcast and in my personal life. But professionally speaking, when you look at, I understand the health stuff and all that, I get it. But also something nobody's talking about is the economic impact this is going to have on, for example, I was reading an article on for Austin, Texas. They have their South by Southwest festival. There's a gentleman, can't remember his name, but he has a business. This is their Black Friday. So you take away, imagine if you're a retailer and all of a sudden they say, well, you can't go out Black Friday because of the coronavirus. That would, I mean, there's a whole bunch of businesses that will close.
That's when our government has to step in and make sure that doesn't happen, Dave.
Well, I mean, who's to say they can do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they will. They'll just say they're going to close and you should have been more economically stable. You were on your deathbed anyway. They're not going to bail them out. I don't see them bailing them out. So there's a whole bunch of people that potentially could lose their jobs based on, I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with being cautious. That's fantastic. I'm in the camp. Give a major thumbs up there. Just also keep in mind the people that are leaders, they're called leaders for a reason. When they're making these tough decisions, keep in mind people can lose jobs. A whole bunch of jobs can be lost. And you think that it's, maybe I'm overreacting on that. But at the same time, just be careful because those people, if they're not at work, they're not going to get paid. So
yeah,
what do we
then? Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example myself. I mean, you know, talking about somebody, the frontline worker for this.
Right.
You know, I am, and almost all emergency medicine physicians are, or a lot of us are, who are independent contract employees. So,
right.
I get sick. You know, I have to be quarantined. You know, no pay. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's not, you know, that's what I've had to talk to my, you know, that's, it's not a, you know, being the, you know, the medical director of the ER, it's not a fun talk. You know, I just, you know, thankfully, I mean, I just got back from vacation, you know, which was not a lot of fun dealing with this while you're on vacation, you know, coordinating the response. But, yeah, I tell my docs, you know, like, hey, you guys need to make sure that you have your, make sure your short-term disability is up to date. Make sure, you know, make sure you've got all these things right, you know, because this is coming. I mean, and unfortunately, yeah, a lot of the ER docs have just come to expect, just kind of like the flu. You can expect you're probably going to get the flu. I mean, and we should probably expect that we're going to get that, you know, several of our colleagues are going to get this. And so now I've got to write backup schedules. Yeah, I've got, you know, backup call, who's going to come in, what's our plan going to be if, you know, several of my providers get, you know, quarantined and wiped out. Like, what are we going to do? What's our plan going to be? You know, what's our hospital surge plan going to be? What's our ER surge plan going to be? And you know, what's going to happen if lots of nurses can't come to work? I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, if it gets to that level.
And how do you?
It's going to be very difficult. But, I mean, thinking about just Greensboro, you know, I mean, that's obviously where I live, you know, that, you know, the two huge events are coming up, you know, the ACC tournament, which, you know, I know Greensboro has been preparing for that for years.
Right.
For years since, you know, Boeheim trashed Greensboro the last time the tournament was here. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Oh, yeah. He's saying, like, Greensboro, like, it's hilarious. He acts like Greensboro because, you know, there's – and I absolutely love New York City, so let me make that very clear. But because he wants the tournament every year in New York City, so he trashes Greensboro, which is where this tournament became popular for the ACC. And that's where the headquarters of the ACC is in Greensboro. And Greensboro is not a small town. As you know, John, it's my birthplace, too, so I have a special place. I love Greensboro. But Greensboro is not a small town just because it's not New York City and out of his element. Then I thought he was wrong for – I know I'm a North Carolinian, but I'm not trashing New York City. You don't trash Greensboro.
Right. But, yeah, so that's – you know, so they have been waiting for this opportunity for – yeah, I think it was 2014. So They've been waiting for this opportunity for a year, for 6 years, and now it's going to get, you know, now it's going to get canceled. And then you've got people, you know, the huge thing here is, you know, the furniture market twice a year. You know, that's coming up in mid late April. You know, are they going to, are we going to be in a point where they can have furniture market in a month? I mean, that would just destroy the economy at High Point.
Right. I guess my question is, are we discussing the same thing? The virus, you know, is can't be helped. The virus is there. Mm-hmm. So are we doing the right thing by not allowing fans to attend the ACC tournament? If the furniture market can't be held for safety reasons, is that the right thing to do? I mean, what I'm trying to say, are we blaming the virus or are we blaming the decision makers?
Yeah, that's kind of chicken or the egg. I mean, there is one school of thought in the medical community. It's out there that we should just let this thing spread so we can all be immune to it and just be done with it. You know, that school of thought is out there. I mean, I wouldn't say it's mainstream school of thought, but, you know, there are some people who just say, you know, let's just run with it, you know, get herd immunity going and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. I mean, that school of thought is out there, but again, then not mainstream.
And how about this, John? As we were, I didn't want to interrupt because obviously it's very important to talk about coronavirus, but as we're beginning the very interview, the NBA suspends their season. And I have a personal, as John knows, thanks to John, I was in the process of purchasing tickets for my son's 7th birthday, and everybody says, oh, it's not, he's been looking forward to this for, since I talked to John back in, I'm sorry, hopefully it's not personal laundry there, John, but John is a good friend of mine and was looking out for me, for tickets to, for my son to see LeBron James and see the Hornets, his first NBA game. He loves basketball. And I know people say it's an inconvenience, but I'm just saying there's a whole bunch of things that,
I got tickets to see Cody Jinks. I got tickets to go see, Jamie Johnson and Whiskey Myers.
We haven't even talked about, that's a great point.
Next Friday night, I'm supposed to be in Fayetteville, you know, at a concert with a couple thousand people to see Cody Jinks. If it gets canceled, it gets canceled. I mean, I'll be disappointed, but if they think it's a safety, you know, if they don't think it's safe enough to have the concert, then so be it. I mean,
But I'm just saying, my concern, I understand that. I understand my inconvenience. My concern is the end game. Where does this end? Because, again, in addition to the economics, if I say that, I don't know, it just seems, it seems very surreal. It seems like I'm one of the ones that I'm concerned about. If the media says the sky is falling, is the sky falling? So I understand.
Well, I don't think it's the media saying it. You got a doctor here on the line saying that it needs to be taken seriously.
I think where the issue is here is, you know, it's just not being. I mean, there's not been, you know, a coordinated message from anybody about this,
right.
And that's kind of been the really hard part here because. You know, here
I'll say it because I know you don't want to. President Trump was concerned about one thing only, and that was the economy and the stock market. So he was trying to pretend like the disease wasn't out there. Had he taken proper action to begin with and made a coordinated effort, the leadership starts at the top. And when the leadership at the top is screwing the pooch, things become bumbled.
Well, I would just say that we could have made more efforts to get more tests available more quickly and ease the access to testing because the government did not provide nearly enough test kits to test people. And so now, like, I mean, we're, what, a week plus into this, and you could get somebody tested, but it was, I mean, like one of my docs sent me an email 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, say, hey, you know, I have my first patient, you know, she went to Las Vegas to this, you know, vaping convention. She's around a lot of people. Now she's got these symptoms. You know, she's got, you know, a fever, her heart rate's high, her respiratory rate's high. She's negative for the flu. Her BioFire panel is negative. You know, so she, you know, obviously she's a possible, you know, coronavirus person. We need to test her. And it was just like tons of phone calls, you know, faxing paperwork back and forth to, you know, the health department just to get a test. I mean, it's just, it's unfortunately not, you know, super practical. And now thankfully that changed today with the private sector getting involved.
Right.
Now,
yeah, LabCorp can test for it now, correct?
Right. Now LabCorp can test for it. And so now we can. The other thing that's going to make cases skyrocket is as of today and tomorrow, like Novant, literally as I was on the phone, I got the email from Novant showing me how to order it on the computer system. The number of tests is going to explode in the next 48 hours as doctors have more access to order it. And in the next week or so, because it's not going to be an immediate test, it's going to take a couple days to come back, you're going to see the number of cases just balloon because we're actually able to test.
And, John, let me ask you this. I was reading today, and help me out if you think this is a good idea. Apparently, a lot of people around the world are giving a major thumbs up to South Korea because they've basically, I don't know if it's everybody in South Korea, but a good percentage of people in South Korea were tested for coronavirus. Is that a good idea for people just to, I mean, I don't want to create a work overload for you guys and people in emergency medicine. Is that something that we need to look into, is that Americans go and be tested for corona to see if they have it or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where you got to go, because you got to identify the people that have it so they can self-quarantine themselves so they don't spread it to other people.
Yeah, so even if you're not showing symptoms, just go get tested.
Right, I mean, if you're showing only mild symptoms, you know, that's what people do. You know, I mean, you guys do it. I mean, I do it. You know, hey, I woke up this morning, I don't feel really good. I've got a runny nose and a cough, but, well, there's no substitute ER doctor that's coming in today, so, you know, I'm going to go do my best, and then, you know, you don't feel terrible, but lo and behold, you know, if it's, you know, it's like the flu, for example. Most people will work through the virus. Like, if you just have a cold, like, most people will work through it, right? If you have the flu, people won't work through it. And that's right. The same thing with this. If people know they have coronavirus, they're not going to work through it. And so that's why people knowing is really important. So then they won't, you know, start keep spreading it to other people. And so that's kind of where China had to get to was, my God, China, I mean, their response, because they built a hospital for this in like 10 days, like a massive new hospital in 10 days for this. And like I said, Korea tested almost 200,000 people. And, you know, Korea's death rate, because their denominator is so high, I think South Korea, their death rate's like 0.5. I mean, it's super low. You know, Germany's got 1,200 cases. They haven't had a single death.
Now, why is Germany doing so well with it?
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, I don't think anybody really knows the answer to that question yet. Maybe just a healthier population. I mean,
Mistletoe therapy.
Yeah. Jeff Charles.
Yeah, they got that from Germany.
But I mean, I think it's, you know, it's really hard to say. I mean, in, you know, in general, I mean, South Koreans are probably a little bit healthier than Americans, although they smoke at a higher rate. You know, so it's really hard to, you know, to determine, you know, some of those things. Is there, you know, maybe a little bit higher cross reactivity rate from other coronaviruses in those countries that you don't have here? Maybe. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities you could throw out there. I just don't think people really know right now. But, you know, some countries have, you know, have done much better than others.
What is Italy's infrastructure like health-wise, you know, their hospitals, et cetera, compared to ours?
I mean, relatively similar. I mean, it's a high-income economy. It's a, you know, very integrated healthcare system. I mean, they're very technologically capable. I mean, I would say they're about, you know, I mean, they're certainly about on par with us on what they take care of and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I wouldn't think there's a ton of difference. I don't think they have quite as many ventilators per capita. I don't think they have quite as many ICU beds per capita as America does.
I just 200 deaths in 24 hours was just shocking to me.
Yeah, I mean, And I think that's why you're seeing people react like this, because, again, I think the worry is they're tracking very similarly to Italy. And, you know, what the United States population is, what, four or five times Italy's? I'm not sure how many people Italy has off the top of my head. But, you know, it's somewhere in that. I think Italy has about 80 million people, if I'm correct. So about four and a half times the population. So, you know, we have, you know, some.
And just like Italy, we have a lot of fat old people.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. I mean, there are tons of baby boomers right now. You know, that is the worry. I mean, I think that's, you know, the population in America does skew older. You know, baby boomers are now in their, you know, 50s and 60s, you know, where the, you know, 50s through 70s, really, I guess.
Right.
And so that's where this curve sort of starts to take off. So, you know, that is, you know, part of the concern is our population is, you know, skewed a little older.
Yeah. That's, so, and I was, as far as the would it be smart? I've heard people suggest this that are not doctors, so that's why I make that very clear. Would we be smart to say, tell everybody not to do, like, go out for a week, say, take a week off, 2 weeks off, and not work, not go to stores, not go to, I mean, is that what we need to do?
Honestly, it would have to be longer than that, because the incubation period can be up to 2 weeks. So you'd have to shut everything down for 2 weeks, which just isn't possible.
Okay. But essentially that's what Italy's done, except for groceries and pharmacies.
Yeah, I mean, they have taken a very draconian response. And I mean, I think the world is watching to see if that works.
Okay. Now, yeah, personal question. Would you go to the concert next Friday night?
I would. I mean, like I said, I just got back from Aruba. You know, I flew Charlotte's airport, Miami's airport. You know, I mean, you know, I was smart about it. You know, you keep yourself clean. I washed my hands several times. You know, you do all the things. So the thing is, you have to trust that people are going to do the right thing, and that's the hard part, is that, you know, so well, you're going to trust the workers at home, but, you know, people, to David's point, you know, if you're working at McDonald's, you know, and, you know, you don't have any worker protections or guarantees or anything, and you don't feel well, you know, you think you just have a cold, like, you're going to work.
Yeah,
and I think that's where the government needs to step in right now and take care of people. If this continues to trend this way, there needs to be something in place to take care of the people that you know may potentially miss work.
Yeah, I mean, granted, we went through this in the recession, but I mean, you're going to see air. I mean, you're talking air. I mean, my flight home from Miami today was like half full.
That's the thing with them. I have a friend of mine that's a travel agent that we're dealing with, and the cruise industry taking a huge hit, the airlines, huge hit. So that's what I'm worried about is if, like, let's say, I feel like I'm pretty confident we're going to survive all this. And so when we do, what's going to be the effects after the aftermath, if you will, not trying to scare people. Obviously, I'm at the one end of the spectrum. To be cautious, to be concerned about it, to take it very seriously, but at the same time, to also be careful not to, in the media, we have a responsibility in our profession not to scare people to the point of where then all of a sudden everything's canceled, all this, you know, it's like, where does it, that's what I'm concerned with the most, as I've said, I'm just concerned, what's the end game, where do we go, how severe can this, you know, get, so.
I think Italy's the example, Dave. John said, the world's watching to see if what Italy is doing is going. And now Denmark also is doing it. By the way, Denmark has put in the same regulations that Italy has. I think pharmacies and groceries are basically the only things open, and the world's going to watch to see if that works. If it doesn't, you know, then. It probably won't be implemented anywhere else.
Yeah.
And this is something that, John, when you said that, I know this is all like new again, but when you said the, as far as this is something seasonally we would see, is this something that, okay, we know that in February every year or January every year, we're going to have to suspend ball games or not be around each other for a couple months.
Well, you'll build immunities up to it.
Right. You'll start building herd immunity, or they'll come up with a vaccine or the other. It's just, those are going to be a year or two away.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I think that's...
I mean, essentially, John, if you get it now and you know, you get over it, your body builds up antibodies to it from having it, correct? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it should, but, you know, how long will those antibodies last? You know, it's the same thing with the flu. I mean, you can get flu every year just for, you know, whatever reason. You know, that's why we have a seasonal flu vaccine, just because, you know, you get different strains. You know, that's the question. Is this virus going to mutate slightly and be slightly different, you know, the next go around? You know, that's the...
But you certainly shouldn't get it twice this season.
And I think that's an important point we haven't talked about yet, is that you're not going to get that the rate of getting coronavirus and getting something else is extremely low. For example, like with flu, you commonly get a superimposed bacterial pneumonia. You almost never see that with coronavirus. It's really coronavirus, and that's it. You don't see any superimposed bacterial infections or anything along those lines, like you do with the flu. And so that's why we've kind of used, because the Chinese studies have shown that if you're positive for RSV or, you know, metapneumovirus or any of the other commonly circulating viruses, that the rate of having coronavirus in association with them is less than 2%. It's very, very, very low. Whereas a lot of these other viruses, you know, rhinovirus, human metapneumovirus, you know, all these other causes of the common cold, often you can get, you know, like these daycare kids, like they'll stay snotty for three weeks.
Yeah. And they make you more susceptible to something else. But apparently coronavirus does not. That's interesting.
Right.
Well,
but, I mean, there's all kinds of studies coming out of China about this. I mean, and that's just where I think, you know, we really should have been, you know, and it's hard, you know, obviously with China, you never know. They're not the most trustworthy nation on the planet.
Right.
You know, how much were they sharing? How much are they not sharing? You know, how much did we request and didn't get? You know, there's a lot of data out there. And so, you know, when you're, you know, kind of, I just wish having a 6 to 8 week head start on this, we were in a little bit better place to combat this. So,
Dave, you got anything else?
Well, it's crazy times, but certainly I know, John, with everything, and obviously if there's any more developments, we'd love to have you back on. Enjoy having you. Let's have you back on when hopefully it's enjoyable times. We can talk about the Pirates and anything
about
the coronavirus.
Chancellor Church, we've got, you know, all the Board of Trustees issues, and, you know, you know, lots of Pirate baseball. That's one thing. I mean, I'm not even sure. I mean, you guys can update me. Is, you know, I know we lost our weekend opponent. You know, the Ivy League's not traveling, and we were looking for a replacement.
What's interesting, after tonight, UNC System says no outdoor events with more than 100 people unless the chancellor of the university allows it. So there has not been a formal announcement from East Carolina. Fans will be allowed to attend a baseball game this weekend if we find an opponent.
My guess of us finding an opponent is going to be pretty low. I mean,
someone mentioned VMI. I don't know if they were playing an Ivy League school also.
Yeah, VMI.
There's anywhere between seven to ten teams.
Yeah, University of Richmond, I think, has had a tournament. Yeah, there's some regional schools we could play. But again, that's a big effort to, you know, put that together in what's today? Wednesday.
Today's
to put that 11. Together. To put that together in 24 hours, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have to be a regional school, you know, that we're going to play.
Right.
Yeah, it's just interesting the effect this is going to have on, you know, sports season.
Spring practice. You know, will spring practice
starts next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Will we have a spring game April the 18th? Will there be a Pirates?
You know, I'll say this. If the NCAA should step in, if it becomes a thing where several schools are canceling spring practice, the NCAA should step in and have all schools cancel spring practice. That way, no one has an unfair advantage.
I agree with that. I thought about that after we guys were told earlier, Kyle.
I think it's interesting. You know, I mean, yeah. Hey, what do you guys think? Do you think? I would just play the games. You know, it's just. You know, are we not going to have NBA champion in 2020? Are we not going to have, you know, like...
I think travel's the issue, John. I think that's the problem. I mean...
Yeah. I say what they should do
in the arenas. I mean, and people... Fans, I mean, do you want them to play the games without fans in the arena? Is that what you're saying? Or
right. Just play the... You know, until...
I guess if they could charter the planes, you know, that way it would just be, you know, without having to...
Yeah.
NBA may charter anyway.
Why don't they just do the... What I would do is just, suspend play for a couple of weeks to kind of see how this thing goes.
That's what they've done. They suspended play. The season hasn't been canceled. Suspended the season. So what'll be interesting with college baseball, or is the season going to be canceled? Or are they going to suspend the season?
One of the Utah Jazz players tested positive, they're saying, for the coronavirus, Rudy Gobert.
Did you just confirm the news you told me, Jessica, before I say it here on the podcast? Yes. Tom Hanks has the coronavirus.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I think you guys, in the next 48 to 72 hours, we're going to see the number of cases explode as we get closer to this, 9 to 12-day window where people are are getting exposed and having symptoms. I think these first few cases we're seeing were up like 1,200. Mark my words, I bet in the next 72 hours will be close to 3,000 to 5,000 at minimum.
And John, just out of curiosity, do you have any idea why people aren't buying Corona beer?
I do not know why people are not buying Corona.
I didn't know as a doctor if you had any idea what the psychology behind that is. Is that Corona beer sales are suffering because of coronavirus?
Just bad luck, man. Just wrong marketing. They just happen to have the wrong name. Like, it's kind of like...
I would go with it. I would tell everybody, get a case of Corona.
Yeah, why don't you have a party?
you can't go out. Might as well stock up on Corona.
Get a case of Corona.
Yeah, but I think there's, like I think one of the more spectacular fails is Chevy. You know, they introduced the Chevy Nova to Mexico back in the 80s, I think it was, and it didn't sell. You know why?
Not a clue.
Because Nova in Spanish is no-go. The Chevy no-go.
Wow. The Chevy no-go.
Wow.
I didn't know about that. Well, that's funny.
So sometimes you just happen to have something, and you just don't think of that, it's just sometimes that kind of stuff just happens. I think Corona just happens to be very, very, very unlucky right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, their sales are only 40-something percent, I saw. It's insane.
That's not very good beer, either.
Yeah, it's all right. It's, not one of my favorites.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. And certainly, if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to be a guest on the show anytime. And I'll shoot you that Italy graphic. I'll send that, since we talked about that. I'll shoot you that Italy graphic so you can post it when you post the podcast.
No doubt, we will. Appreciate you, man. And I know you've got a lot on your plate already before all this, personally, professionally, the whole nine yards. So thanks for taking the time with us, and definitely we'll have you back on, and hopefully it'll be about positive things or different things besides the coronavirus.
Well, hopefully positive things. There's a lot of good things. A lot of things we've got to address at ECU still, but a lot of great things going on too.
Thank you very much, Dr. John Bream, a good friend of ours and the podcast. And I know, Bubba, you want to talk about John Gilbert's big thing on, if you're listening to this on Friday, it's at noon today. Certainly we would like to see if we can attend. We're going to try to. If not, we'll definitely have our thoughts on it for the weekend podcast at some point.
Yeah, East Carolina Director of Media Relations Tom McClellan announced on Thursday afternoon that East Carolina AD and John Gilbert would be meeting with the media on Friday at noon, as you mentioned. And so in the release that was put out there on Thursday afternoon, John Gilbert said the safety of our student-athletes, coaches, staff, and fans is of the utmost importance. And this is an evolving situation, and we have been in constant communication with Interim Chancellor Ron Mitchelson and the American Athletic Conference. It's imperative we take the necessary precautionary steps, and we'll continue to communicate our plans moving forward. So there you have some of the thoughts of John Gilbert, and we'll see what he has to say on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be real. I mean, they didn't have a choice. I think that was inevitable by the fact that a lot of stuff's being canceled right now, and they're going to have to. I think that's the smart thing to do is let's give this a couple weeks to see how, 2 or 3 weeks to see how things play out. And then, like we're talking about, guys, I really believe there's still a chance to save some of the spring sports season. Seasons, I guess, will be for the different sports. It's just a shame. I think there's a lot of great.
Hey guys, we haven't even talked about spring practice.
Well, that's another thing.
We haven't even talked about that. We're as of right now, I guess spring practice is postponed
next week.
Yes, postponed. So it'll happen next week. So hopefully that'll take place at some point. I wonder if it's. Go ahead, Bubba.
Oh, and just some other information. I was reading a little more into the release this afternoon from ECUPirates.com, and fans who have purchased season and single game tickets for softball and baseball will receive a refund. Information on the refund process will be distributed in the coming weeks.
So, and I'm going to ask everyone, unless you need the money, don't take the refund. Let the school keep it. Athletic department needs it.
Yeah, that's a great – that was – I'm glad – thank you, Kyle. I totally forgot. I was going to talk about that, and I totally forgot.
If you're in a situation where you need the money, of course, you know, get your money back. But if you don't need the money, and let the athletic department keep it, just consider it a donation, and maybe they can credit it if you let them keep it. Maybe they can credit it as a donation to the Pirate Club, and it'll up your points. Maybe they should make that an option. You know, that would be a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Not only that, but also the fact that the baseball program has been doing so well, and we love Cliff. We love the coaches and players, the staff. We'd love to see that. Obviously, we want that program to grow, and we don't want to have, you know, I was thinking about this today about, I mean, and people think, you guys beat a dead horse, but look, what in the world, what did we do wrong as the Pirate Nation? Because you have all the stuff going all the way back to Terry Holland and, you know, the Comfer firing Ruff and then Scotty Montgomery. And we feel like we're finally turning the corner and you got this mess going on. I'm talking about the financial state of the program.
Sure.
And we were to add John Gilbert on, was it a week ago?
Yeah.
So, and the fact
it's
of.
About 2 weeks now, isn't it?
2 weeks. Yeah. I'm sorry. Tomorrow. Yeah. When this podcast release, that's right. It's 2 weeks. And time is flying. And the fact that we're going to be paying for the Calbank Tower forever, who knows how long that's going to be. But just thinking about the very fact of the last thing the program needed was to have something that potentially, hopefully, won't affect us for very long. But hopefully, and that's what my hope is, it's just a good precaution. We do this for a couple weeks. Then we can hopefully reevaluate things and ease back into what we normally would be doing, and obviously save some of the spring sports schedules, and then we can obviously have a spring game and have obviously the fall sports won't be affected at all.
Here's something else, guys. The later on this month, the coaches' clinic where the return of Ruff and McNeil, that probably won't happen now.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking about that this afternoon. Bubba and I were talking earlier. That very thing of the very fact that with Ruff and McNeil, a great opportunity for Ruff to come back and to have Coach Houston's been trying really hard. And another reason you have to love Coach Houston, he gets it. He gets how much Ruffin McNeil loves ECU and how much ECU loves Ruffin McNeil and how much Ruffin McNeil loves Pirate Nation and how much Pirate Nation loves Ruffin McNeil. So he's had Donnie go out there and in Oklahoma there in Norman to try to work something out where Ruff comes back. I know that was going on last season before the season started, I know. And so they and Donnie Kilpatrick, and so that was something that's been in the works. And to have him at the coach's clinic was just, I mean, a brilliant move. And, again, it's a sad situation. We'll get through it. And hopefully, like I said, guys, I'm hoping in the next 2 or 3 weeks, sometime in April, yeah, they'll finally wake up and realize that everything is going to be all right and we can move on.
Fun question, though. Yeah, Dave, I know you probably will have an answer for this, but Bubba, you and I discussed this a little earlier, but with no sports, what do you do with your free time? Dave, I know you're a movie buff, and obviously concerts aren't an option either. So movies right now, what do you do for entertainment?
Well, that's the next it's just amazing to me the pressure that's being put on. Yes, I love movies. I guess what I'm going to have to do is watch watch more movies, which I do watch some on
Netflix.
A lot of streaming stuff. But, yeah, with Netflix, Hulu, and Prime with Amazon. But, yeah, that's definitely an option. There was a lady today on Yahoo that had the test positive for it. She said, don't panic. She got it at a party in Seattle, and she felt bad. And come to find out, she had it. And she said that what she did was she self-quarantined herself. She took over the over-the-counter cold medicines for a few days. And she said that what she said, plan on if that happens to you to do that. Drink lots of fluids, gets a lot of rest. And she said binge watch, find a show to binge watch. So with no sports on right now, we do have NASCAR for at least two more races, it looks like. Like you said, the WWE Network, I can watch that. I know, by the way, Bubba, Cliff Brock had a great, from Pirate Radio, had a great idea for ESPN, right?
Yeah. Obviously, the 30 for 30 series with ESPN is extremely popular, so he was just saying that one or some of the ESPN channels should show 30 for 30 on a loop. until sporting events are back on the air. And that's something that was interesting. And Dave, something else I know you brought up, just talking about the ripple effects that this would have on people losing their jobs and so forth, whether it's a full-time job or a part-time job, like in an NBA arena or Major League ballpark. I know Kevin Love, as far as the Cleveland Cavaliers, he donated $100,000 from the Kevin Love Fund to the Cavs employees, and then the calls with the arena and so forth.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that the commissioners challenge every single commissioner, because I know they listen to the podcast, since they suspended the season. Why don't you cough up money from your league to help these arenas, help the you're making millions of dollars, especially we haven't even talked about the NFL. And I guess, hey, guys, I haven't even heard, is the XFL suspended right now?
They are.
Okay, I figured everybody, that's the way our society is. If one person does it, everybody's got to do it.
And it said that the XFL players would receive that every player would receive the base salary, or at least the base salary.
Okay, so they got something going on there. All right, well, so hopefully, a buddy, we just had him, Joe Myancic, that he was just on with us. Hopefully, he and others don't lose their jobs during this time, because his job is to sell tickets, and yes, there's no tickets to sell at this point, so we'll be thinking about him. We thank the world of him and appreciate him very much. I know that it's going to be an ongoing situation, and if we have any breaking news, obviously, we'll do an emergency pod, but guys, do you have anything before we go?
No, everybody, just stay safe, be vigilant, wash your hands, use cleaning supplies. If you're concerned about trucks ended up stopping or things not being shipped out, or, go buy some things to make yourself feel secure. But don't go buy every roll of toilet paper in Walmart.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Kyle.
Or every bag of rice, or just get a, you know, me and my wife went tonight. The toilet paper thing really isn't a big concern to me. You know, I don't get that. Because if we get to the point where everything's shut down and we really have to quarantine, trucks are taken off the road, all right, worst case scenario, you know, we went and bought some dry goods, some canned food, some dry goods, some black eyed peas, some rice, things like that. Because they'll keep, and you gotta have food, you gotta have something
right.
to drink. Okay, worst case scenario, I'll wipe my ass with a wash rag.
So
I don't get the toilet paper thing. I just don't get it.
I've been talking all day long. It's funny that you brought that up. I've been talking all day long about that to coworkers and friends and stuff and family about that very thing. Is that that's the worst fear of mine in a house is if you have no toilet paper.
Hey,
people want Charmin on their butts, Kyle.
That's your worst fear, Dave? Are you being facetious or serious?
I'm talking about a normal situation. No, not about the
really.
No.
Y'all didn't. I'm gonna tell you what. I can tell. Neither one of y'all is from divorced parents. Y'all. Neither one of y'all is from divorced. Yes, Bubba. We had a conversation last night. Neither one of y'all are from divorced parents. Because let me tell you something right now. There's been many times when I was growing up where my daddy ran out of toilet paper and we used paper towel. I have gone as far at my dad's house when I was a kid. To tear a page out of a magazine and soften it up with my hand. I'll tell you what. And Dave and Bubba, your parents are together. God bless you. Because Mama makes sure you have that stuff. But let me tell you something. Men don't always think that way, particularly men from my dad's generation. And forgot to go to the grocery store and pick up toilet paper. Happened a couple times, and it was... You know, grab some napkins from Wendy's off the kitchen table.
Oh my God! Let me do my normal Bubba normally laughs like this. You killed me. I needed a good laugh there.
I'm just
as well.
Telling you. So the toilet paper thing ain't nothing new to me. That just reminds me of being at my dad's house when I was about 13.
Frankie. All right. We give a shout out to Frankie from Barber.
Yeah.
a great man, by the way. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He raised you right, Kyle. I'll give him credit for that, and your mama.
So Kyle, with the how were the shelves? Were they stocked or were they empty?
You know what? At Food Lion tonight, the for the toilet paper, there wasn't much. A couple rolls. plenty of groceries. There was plenty of groceries to be had. Getting low on some things. The bags of rice were getting low. Plenty of dry beans. Plenty of canned soup, plenty of Roman noodles. Didn't check the cleaning supplies. My wife has those always on hand. So didn't check that. But the toilet paper at the Food Line in LaGrange was getting low tonight. Again, don't understand that, but whatever, man. People have their thing.
A good family friend of ours down in Gastonia, he posted a picture on Facebook that had, I don't know if it was Food Line or whatever store he was in, and the toilet paper aisle was totally wiped out.
It was wiped out.
No pun intended.
And by the way, guys, not for nothing, I don't want people to think I'm gross here. If I have my druthers, I like using moist wipes to wipe with over toilet paper. How clean I am if I have my druthers, but let me tell you something. In an emergency situation, toilet paper ain't my top concern.
No doubt. No doubt about that.
Great podcast content.
Yeah. No, yes, it is. I told you, we're going to have to change. We're definitely going to have to change the podcast name. Maybe it's The Life of Kyle now. We're going to have where we just talk about, Kyle, how was your life today?
I'll tell you what. If you let me go ahead and just be wide open and explicit, we could get some ratings. But you know, I don't know if we want to go there.
We have the kinder, gentler Kyle. If you're going to start paying money for the podcast, folks, we'll just open it wide open.
Put it on Patreon.
Exactly. No doubt. All right, guys. Bubba, thank you very much for all your hard work, and I know we've got some great guests and. I will say this, folks, the great thing about the tough times we have now as far as our content is concerned, that allows us to be creative and innovation. The creation and innovation is going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to it. It's actually not a challenge because Bubba's awesome. Kyle's awesome. I would like to think I'm awesome. I don't know. That's kind of but anyway, we're going to have
totally awesome.
If only thanks, now dude. We could cue up that, was it a Lego movie song, Everything is Awesome?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, Bubba. You got to have kids, right?
Yeah. But one of those guests we'll be catching up with is Kim McNeil, and just wrapped up her first season as the head women's basketball coach at East Carolina. So we'll talk to her, and we'll have that for you here in the next couple of days. And I will be catching up with some former Pirate players, since we don't have any sports to talk about, really, other than what may be in store down the road, we'll talk to some former Pirate athletes from a variety of sports. I know one of the sports that we've wanted to spend some time talking about on for some quite some time is East Carolina wrestling. That was just a dynasty back in the 70s. Won a lot of Southern Conference championships. So we'll catch up with some of those guys. Also catch up with some former baseball players from the 1960s that played on some NAI, either national champion or third place teams back in those days. So a lot of good things headed your way, even though we won't have any sports for the next few weeks, if not longer.
All right, this is like an early summer for us to be creative, right, guys? So. Kyle, yep. Man, thank you so much, brother. And same thing for you, Mr. Bubba. Appreciate you guys very much. And thank you for listening to a special edition of the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.